Are you gay?
Geeky?
Just enjoy hearing your good Judy's dish about the latest in pop culture?
Well, then you're in luck.
The boys of Flame On are here for you.
In every episode, we discuss the topics that entrance us.
Whether it's comics, TV,
movies,
drag queens,
or video games,
we've got you covered.
So, if you're ready for your gay and geeky slice of pop culture life,
then sit back and get ready to
Flame On!
What's going on, everybody? Patrick Barry here, and we are back again. This time, it's the April edition. I misread the calendar, and this might be coming out on the first day of May, but still, it's the April episode of Flame On. You know it. You love it. That's how we do here. It's
life the first of May. And,
wait,
yes.
Is it that time of year?
I mean, does outdoor fucking start today?
When this episode comes out, yes, but not today. Today.
I mean, outdoor fucking starts whenever you feel like you can handle it.
We celebrate it, though, on the 1st of May. But yes.
The only thing in your way of outdoor fucking is you and your beliefs. And consent.
And a tan Sharpay, but that's besides the point. Anywho. Oh, he was back here recently, but I did not go to this concert.
That's a damn shame.
Listen, I can only go to so many City Winery events.
Oh, it
makes me
right,
sad.
Yeah. What is the City Winery? Is it like a just a venue, or is it like a?
It's a winery in the city. It's it's a venue. It's not a supper club, but it's. It depends on which city you're in, because New York's is actually a little nicer because it's right on the river, so there's an outdoor seating area. I think we have two city wineries here in Chicago, and one might actually be Riverside, where there's a outdoor seating and you can go and have food and have wine. And singers of our generation are now starting to have that as part of their touring schedule. This includes the likes of Jonathan Colton and David Cook of American Idol fame. Vanessa Carlton is coming back for a two-night engagement this summer. This is where I saw her the last time. So, I joke about it, but honestly, it's great that they have a venue to still go out and tour. And that I can still go and support them and go see people that I wouldn't probably normally go or get to see, because they're not selling out venues like the Hard Rock or, you know, in Chicago, Aragon or the Riviera, but you can still go and see them. So, you know, it's lovely
like
that
Sunday, it's like on Sunday I went to Epcot at the Flower and Garden Festival. I saw Air Supply.
Oh, ooh. Very nice.
Yeah.
Were they making love out of nothing at all?
They certainly were not all out of love.
Wait, they do disgusting. Making love out of nothing at all, right?
Yes.
Okay, yes. I was like, I'm grasping at straws for an Air Supply song here.
I knew all of two songs.
Was it Making Love Out of Nothing at All and All Out of Love?
Yes.
Okay. Very good.
Is Postmodern Jukebox performing this year?
Maybe for Food and Wine, but I don't think they were on the calendar for Flower and Garden.
Is RuPaul doing a DJ set at Flower and Garden? I could see Trixie doing a set for Flower and Garden. Like that seems like her aesthetic.
In another like 5 years, I think so.
I feel like if any RuPaul's Drag Race queens do anything at Epcot, that Disney's reached a level of woke in which Florida will like burn it down.
This is true.
That'll be the That's like the foretelling of the end times of Disney's time in Florida is when a RuPaul Drag Race queen ends up on the Flower and Garden or Flower and Garden or Food and Wine circuit.
Yeah. Although this is done with complete love because I just want to point it out. I love that you went full Robin / Ariana Grande in Break Free. It's a Dwagways. Or...
oh no.
Oh, that R is a W when in what is it? Is it Call Your Girlfriend or Dance? No, Dancing on My Own. When Robin has that R as a W, I love it. It makes me so happy. But anywho, we've already jumped into chit-chatting and conversating, but let me introduce, I introduced myself. Let me introduce the rest of the crew before we get through the episode. And then I realize, oh shit, we didn't do introductions. But you've heard their voices already. We've got Eric.
Hello.
The delay between Eric and I is a little bit longer than usual today. We've got BJ.
Hey, what's up?
Okay, maybe my delay with everybody is a little longer than usual. And we've got Brian.
Hello there, everyone.
All right. Apparently Brian and I's connection is the only one that's somewhat synced up here today. Anywho. Well, welcome. It is our roundtable discussion. We're going to chit-chat. We're going to talk about things that we've enjoyed this month. Maybe a couple of tangential things. I will start off the episode not with the weather, although it is spring here in Chicago, and I fucking love it. So happy, so excited to be able to open my windows and not either be sweating or freezing. But I want to start off with a little caveat on this episode. You might be listening to this going, these homosexuals have watched a lot of Marvel, and there is a show going on that they should probably be talking about, and that being season 2 of Daredevil Born Again. And we will, but we're going to separate that out into its own episode because, one, we still have, I think, 2 episodes left as of when we're recording, one of them coming out this evening, not to pull back the curtain too far on when we're recording this. But I think we have one this week and then one next week, or in some fashion, there might be a double episode somewhere in there, but I will just say, so far loving it. And I think it deserves its own episode. So we're going to dive into that a bit more. So don't worry, dear listeners, if you want to talk, or hear us talk about Daredevil Born Again, it's coming. It will happen. We'll get there. But in the meantime, let's dive into some topics for this month and have a little chit-chat there. Eric, I'm going to pick on you like the teacher and student hoping that he does not get called on first or does not get called to show his work. But I'm going to choose you as our first topic of the episode. What you got for us?
We're going to space with Project Hail Mary.
With Space Force?
No. nothing so individually governmental. Project Hail Mary, the new Ryan Gosling film based on the novel by Andy Weir. The same author as The Martian. It's in the year 2032, Ryland Grace, Ryan Gosling's character, awakens from an induced coma on an interstellar spacecraft, initially erratic and amnesiac. Grace learns that he is the sole survivor of a 3-person crew on a spaceship light years from Earth. And he has to save the world. Because some micro organisms are eating the sun, and all the stars in near galaxies except for one, and he has to discover why that star is special. And it is just a really good movie. It's the main story takes place on the spacecraft, but there's flashbacks throughout that as he kind of recovers from his amnesia. Has anybody else seen it or heard about it?
I've seen a lot of stuff on like Blue Sky, right when it was coming out, like maybe the first 2 or 3 weeks. And I heard great things about it. And the fact that it was really well done, it made these men cry. I didn't know much else about it. I knew that it was based off of a book, but I am notorious, you know, if there's anything I'm notoriously known for, it's reading books. So I have not.
Of the non-comic variety.
Yes. Reading a bitch, definitely. Reading a book, less so, less so. I have a shelf full of books that I read by my author friend, David J. Collins, of davidjcollins.com fame. But no, I hadn't. I did see a lot of really good stuff about it. So I'm glad to hear, you know, that you're talking about it. What did you think? Did you enjoy it overall?
I very much enjoyed it. I will say, as someone who is not familiar with the book, when I saw the first trailer, I was intrigued, but I feel like there was a bit of a spoiler that they put out themselves from the initial trailers in that, and being that it was in the trailers, I'll go ahead and say it, even though I feel it's a spoiler, is that while he's out there and he's by himself, he uncovers an alien spaceship and has to work with this member of an alien species who's encountering the same issue that Earth is experiencing. And they have to work together to solve the problem.
Maybe I did see that commercial, because I don't think I watched the trailer, but I think I saw some footage of that, whether it was a commercial or something that showed him interacting with the alien, because Interstellar vibes.
And I haven't seen Interstellar, so I can't compare it to that. But
I don't know what their gender. They're very it's a phenomenon. Like, I tried to stay spoiler free, and of course that was in the trailer, but like since then I have seen Rocky popping up all over weird Instagrams and whatever. So I think that cat's out of the bag that there's an alien.
Yeah, I mean Rocky was the popcorn bucket they sold for
the
movie even. So I think they knew they could monetize Rocky, so they were like, yeah, let's put him in everything. But yes, and because Rocky is a puppet, I don't know if that's why, but they've said that the main puppeteer who also voices Rocky is eligible to be in the running for supporting actor for the Oscars. Which is cool.
Yeah, that's pretty. When you have practical effects like that, it's nice to be able to give credit and show some, you know, some gratitude towards those visual effects done that way, not being AI.
Yeah, and I am after the fact now listening to the audiobook, which is interesting. It's my first time listening to an audiobook, even though I've had no issues listening to podcasts forever. But listening to an audiobook's proven a little challenging for me, even though I enjoy the story. Just keeping myself focused on the book while trying to do anything else is difficult.
I've been listening to some sci-fi that was recommended to me, the Broken Earth trilogy on audiobook, and it was weird at first, yeah. But I think I slotted it in my normal podcast slot, which is my commute, and it absolutely worked pretty well. And I burned through like three pretty thick books in like 2 months. I mean, so I could, you could probably go faster if you're like one of those speed readers, but I have ceased reading for entertainment purposes, unfortunately. So yeah, it's great. It's great. I do want to read this book. I actually have never seen The Martian, read The Martian. I know.
Oh, The Martian's a great movie.
Yeah. And then the same author, right? So I was like trying to like at some point, maybe read both and then see the movies, but I don't know. I feel like at this point I will see this movie before I read the book. And I don't know, but everyone I've talked to, I cannot think of a single person who did not like the movie, you know? So great.
I would say probably see the movie first, then read it. Andy Weir is a very scientific author. And so there is a lot of like math and science work that has gone into great detail in the books he writes that are not necessarily translated to the movie. And our friend Travis at the club, at the Curling Club, he's the one who gave me the audiobook, and he's listened to it like 5 or 6 times. And while he enjoyed the movie, he was a little disappointed just because he was so familiar with the story. He had expectations about like how the ship looked and all that, that didn't necessarily gel with what he saw depicted on screen. But that can happen with a lot of adaptations anytime.
Can I just point something out? You are calling those things by the wrong name. We don't call them audiobooks. Those are books on tape. Thank you.
Oh, how could we forget? Because we're old and we know what tape is.
Yeah, I was going to say, if we want everybody to know how old we are, if they haven't already. Actually, I had a cool question. Have any of y'all read Bury Your Gaze?
No.
No.
Who's that?
No. That's a Chuck Tingle.
Yes. Book. I thought that was familiar. You liked it?
And it was pretty phenomenal. It's like gay horror. But the way it's written is pretty fantastic. And for those of you unfamiliar with Chuck Tingle, he's got some like insane books out there. I think one of them was like he's like the forefront of absolutely no thoughts of pounding during my fun day with this kind T-Rex because I'm aromantic and asexual, and that's a wonderfully valid way to prove love is real. That is a title of one of his books.
Yeah, he's known for those just ridiculous titles, ridiculously sort of meta, like internet meme, but also like, yeah, that it, he's, if you've never had a chance to see Chuck Tingle in person, let me tell you, it is an event. He comes out in a pink like pillowcase with the eyes cut out and mouth, and does the whole thing in like costume. And any signing he does, he's always in costume. Very like neurospicy, which I think is a big appeal for a lot of people. His sort of personality is very interesting and just quite fun and queer in a way, like very like big bi energy. So he's really fun.
Yeah. Definitely. If you like, it's got kind of a sci-fi angle to it also. So definitely give that a listen. If you guys haven't seen that one.
Nice. Eric, what would you give flame rating wise? What would you give Project Hail Mary?
Honestly, I can't fault this film anywhere. I would give it a full 5 flames. I really, really enjoy this movie. And I was disappointed that I didn't see it in IMAX. I would have gone back and seen it in IMAX, but it's a little too late now. It's past that cycle.
Well, good. That's kind of falls in line with the consensus I've seen online from my skyline. So good to hear. Glad that you enjoyed it. Right. So before we dive into the next topic, I wanted to talk about Drag Race for just a couple of moments.
Oh, boy.
Because the last time we talked about it, episode dropped and Jane Doan went home in the same on the same day. Mm. The episode dropped. My Jane Doan t-shirt arrived. And Jane Doan was eliminated. It was a sad Friday in my house.
Fucking
so it's your
bad.
Fault.
Yeah, pretty much. I still beat myself up, Eric. Don't remind me. But what were you saying, Brian?
Oh no, I didn't even find out about that until like a few weeks afterwards, because I think that was when I was in Japan and just not like, you know, not keeping up. But yeah, I was so mad. Like, just yeah. And it's funny because I don't know who, like, I've talked to like so many people about Drag Race at this point recently. Everyone universally is like, oh, that was stupid. They set her up to fail. Rue gave her nothing in that improv. Just they shit all over it. And yeah, it was, it's good to know that universally that was ridiculous and horrible.
It very much felt like, one, they did just say, okay, you've reached the end of the line. We're done.
Yep.
But then apparently they didn't show them any footage of those Karen challenges while they were on stage. And I think the biggest thing that I took away from that, and I think Willem might have even mentioned it, because, you know, here's our group, you know, regular race chaser
pod
shout out. Yeah. Friend of the pod, Willem. Wait, we're friends of their pod. I don't know. But Willem really, I think it was Willem who pointed out that Jane was already established. Like, Jane knew. Jane knows who she is. Jane is good at what she does. There wasn't an arc, and it's very rare, not completely uncommon, because we saw Sasha Colby win. But it's, I think Sasha Colby also is a much different case, because Sasha Colby is established in the drag world across lots of spheres. Like, that's not just a local girl, quote unquote, parentheses derogatory to the show. But there wasn't anything that they could really do with Jane as a winner. She had her brand, she's established. She was polished. The other piece to this, it really just makes me feel like All Stars 3 all over again, when Ben self-eliminated, and it's just like, okay, so we're competing for second, even though you win the season. And I love Trixie. We all know that I love Trixie. But there is a lot of feeling of like, okay, well, Ben still won the season, no matter what. And I feel like at the end of it, Jane comes out of it as the true winner. Even Courtney Act said so on a recent episode of Race Chaser. But congratulations to Mikey Meeks. Orlando takes another crown back to back. This one may be a little less controversial than the last crown that went to Orlando.
Yeah. I don't know.
It's all in how you look at it, but did you catch up once you got back from Japan and all that, Brian?
Oh yeah, no, I watched the finale live. Actually, or, well, you know, when it aired, I should say, and actually, that's not even true because of the time delay. Whatever, we watched it Friday. Yeah, yeah, I have thoughts. Mikey's delightful, by the way. I do not, no shit intended for Mikey at all. In fact, honestly, the top three were all three I really liked throughout the season, some more than others. And so I was not like, how dare they? This is unacceptable as far as like who's there. And other than that, Jane wasn't there, of course. But, you know, overall, I mean, sure. But yeah.
Well, it was funny because we recorded that episode, our last episode. It came out. Jane got eliminated. And my initial reaction was, fuck everything I said on the episode. Just give the crown to Darlene. Like, fuck it. Just give Darlene the crown. Piss people off and let's just move on.
Like, I think I would have been
yes, Darlene.
I think if Darlene had won, I would have at least been like, I okay, sure. I see what you did here. in all criteria, would I agree with it? No, but like, yay. I love Darlene. She's fun. I think if Darlene or my favorite Nini had won, then we would have, I would have been like, yeah, sure. Fine. Great. Mikey Meeks, too many vowels competing from my brain. It's great. Good performer and just well-rounded in so many ways. So I don't think it's like the worst injustice ever, but just that last comparison, you know, on stage side by side, not even close to me, just different worlds of drag, you know, in terms of, I think, level of performance and originality and art and just, yeah, it was kind of frustrating for me at that viewing party because I was not in the majority. I was very much like, you know, not the lone voice, but, you know, it was a discussion.
Well, as soon as Nini was called as the first of the two top two, I looked at my friend Dan. We went to Meeting House to watch the finale, and I looked at Dan and I said, "Mikey won," because there was no, I didn't see a world where they crown Nini over Mikey based off of non-existent track record, but still what they had given Mikey in terms of wins across the season. I didn't see it happening, but I will say I disagree with Bob, the drag queen. Nini ate Mikey up in that final lip sync.
Oh my God. And the lip sync and the song, both.
Oh, the song, yeah, for sure. The song, Nini had the best finale original song performance, I would say, of Sasha, the entire RuPaul's Drag Race.
It's, well, honestly, since I think Sasha Colby, but also, oh my God, my brain stopped working. Velour, all the Sashas, like, those stand out to me, as did the Nini number. It was just perfect. It was so good. The outfit, not my favorite. Her outfit reminded me, her reveal outfit, I should say, reminded me of when you're making sugar cookies and you use that red glitter on the white sugar cookie. I'm like, I don't know if that's like an intentional sort of nod, but it kind of was giving that. But I like the evolved version of that in the finale. I didn't think the final lip sync was anything to write home about, honestly. I was kind of like, okay, this is fun. What song was it? It was, what's her name? Miley.
Some, right? Miley Cyrus track.
It was a Miley B-side.
Yeah. Why? Like, I get the idea of putting songs out there that people may not know and, like, trying to pay, you know, pay homage and bring in the artist. But, like, don't do that. Don't do, especially for a finale, do something that's a banger that you know is going to bring out some wild, crazy drag lip syncing. Like, just, I hate the producers when they pull out the B-sides unless it's just some really cool B-side that, like, I had never heard, which never happens. So yeah.
Oh, but considering Nini was dressed for The Devil Went Down to Georgia and Mikey was dressed for Smooth Criminal, I don't think either one of them were, like, it was very odd. I still think that it, and this is where it shows you that, like, at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter. You know, we call this a competition. It is, to an extent, but it is an unscripted television show. It is not based off of any point system. It's not based off of, you get to the finale, now everything is judged equally, and whoever wins this finale wins. And that's fine. It is what it is. It's RuPaul, Fenton, and who's the other homosexual?
Oh, James.
Theron. James. Theron.
Theron, yeah.
Theron, Randy, and Rue's decision. And they do what they want to do. And that's fine. And Mikey, drag daughter, Mr. Miss Adrian, friend of ours. Like, I haven't seen Mikey perform. I was actually, it's funny enough, I was in an elevator with Denali yesterday and chatting with Denali. And it was just like, yeah, what I saw in the show of Mikey, great, you know, good for her. I don't know her. I left Orlando before Mikey really was doing much that I know of in Orlando. So I don't have that same connection as I do with some other Orlando queens, but
she blew up over five, basically five, 6 years. And that's impressive for her own stuff. I mean, yeah. And it's funny because even her theater, the Renaissance Theater, that's a relatively new addition to the drag scene in Florida as well. You know, although I guess she did Hamburger Mary's at one point too, which I didn't, you know, again, we haven't been there.
At this point, those guys are going to take credit if she did a single brunch.
That's true. Mary's.
They're going to be like, yeah. Hamburger Mary's own, Mikey Meeks, takes home the crown.
I will share one more thing about the viewing party. So I was there with a bunch of bitchy bears, and they were all bagging.
Bitchy bears in Seattle?
Yeah, I know. Shocking.
No way.
You've never experienced this. They're here. I mean, they're friends of mine, and I'm calling them bitchy bears. But basically, they came after Ginger for what she said on the podcast. And I was like, listen, I'm not defending what she said. Obviously, she kind of got caught up in some misstatements, some white lies, some, I don't even know what they are. But
some
like
Puerto Rican lies.
Well, but see, now who knows?
I can say that.
You can say that, but I mean, like, you know, you're also like, you know, passably not Puerto Rican to the Gen Pub if they didn't know. So maybe she does have that. I don't know. Point is, like, they were bagging on her as this horrible drag queen. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, take those blips, those dumb, idiotic statements aside, the current, you know, little scandal, and like, tell me she's not a good drag. Like, don't even try. I mean, I was so mad. I actually got really mad at these guys because they're bagging on her. I'm like, guys. So anyway, I defended you, Josh, if you're still listening, if you've ever listened more than when you've been on the show. I tried.
You think Ginger listened to the episodes that she was on?
That's fair. Well, CJ, if you're listening, I don't know. No.
I don't listen to our episodes. No, I don't either.
So that's fine. I know. I was mad. It got me mad. You're talking about Florida drag and da 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 da. And I was like, yeah, okay, whatever.
But, yeah. The general populace's default, if they are upset with anything, is to automatically degrade anybody's work. You see it, and I know this is a different, well, no, because I saw similar statements under somebody on, I don't usually go on Facebook much. I happened to be on for, I looked at some, or went to go look at something, and I was scrolling through, and some group or some, there was some post that was like, had Trinity, the Tuck, Ginger, Mikey, and who's another Florida winner? I don't know. There was a fourth person, and it was like, Tyra. And
okay.
It was like, you know, it was something about like Florida drag and winning Drag Race or whatever. And like, say what you will. And there's a lot you can say about James in everything that they've done in the past. Since 2018 at the very least. But the whole thing of like, oh, the fact that you want to even go back to 2010 was when season two aired and be like, yeah, Raven really won that season, or to like continually rehash that. Just don't pay the bitch no mind. The bitch did what she did and won the season, but has done some shitty things after. Same thing with Sharon. Same thing with Sherry Pie. Same thing with Shangela. Like, it's fine. They, you know, shit talk who they are now or what's come out about them. They did a good job when they were on the show. Whatever, move on. The you giving them continued breath in your head is just letting them live rent free in your mind. Like, Ginger, great drag queen. If you don't like what she said or done, or then just don't bother talking about her. Be like, oh, not for me. Move on. It's ridiculous. Unless it's that Toad entrance outfit from All Star 6. You can make fun of that all you want forever.
Well, critique the art. Don't critique the person, the artist. I mean, obviously they did bad things. You can do whatever you want, cancel them, whatever. But yeah, critique the art. Stick to the objective things. Criticize World of Wonder all you want, because that's a perfect way. It's a perfect target for our ire, but also not going to matter at all, ever.
Yeah. Well, we come out of the finale. Or Eric, I'm sorry. Do you have anything else from the finale or final couple of weeks of the show that you want to get off your chest before we move on?
The penultimate episode was really weird. The production really did not want Juicy to be in the final three. I mean,
oh, okay. I was like, do you mean the Lollapalooza or the Good Morning Bitches?
No. I don't mean the Lollapalooza. I mean, yeah.
Good Morning Bitches.
I mean, like, they basically told Juicy, we cast you to win the Lollapalooza. That's the reason you're on this show at all. So you will not be making the finale. That's basically what RuPaul told her to her face when she said, oh yeah, we're doing Good Morning Bitches, not a music video. So bye.
I mean, you're not wrong, but she also was really bad in that challenge.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, So there was very much producing going on towards in the back half of the season.
Yeah. Yeah. You are 100% right. Like, it was very, very evident on them wanting to send certain people home at certain times. And you can't tell me that they couldn't have saved the front runner of the season if they didn't want to and figured out a way to still make it work if they wanted Jane to be in the finals or even further along than where she was. Mm-hmm. Well, we got through the finale.
I wish you won Miss Congeniality.
That's true. I was happy about that. Might have been more of as a joke, it feels like, but I don't care. Give the bitch some money. Let her at least have that title. But of course, during the finale, what did we get? The commercial teaser for All Stars 11. And again, I looked at Dan and I said, God damn it, Rue, get your foot off our necks. Give us a break. And then it was like, oh, 3 weeks, I guess. That's fine. Let's move on. Have y'all looked at or seen the Queens coming back for All Stars 11?
Yeah, I watched the Meet the Queens. So I saw the whole promo thing.
That's a lot of dedication. I applaud you for that. That's a lot of time.
I fell asleep during it. I think I may have made it past bracket one. I mean,
There were definitely a couple.
Who? Name names.
No, too big. I just can't with Silky Nutmeg Ganache anymore. I cannot deal with her on my computer screen. And also, my feelings towards her are not the same as Silky Nutmeg Ganache, but I don't need Kennedy Davenport back again. Just myself.
I get that.
It's definitely not the same feelings, but it was funny though they could completely erase the existence of Canada versus the world though.
They're like, back for their third time. Because they weren't on a show in Canada, we promise.
Definitely not. They've only done two seasons of Drag Race.
I didn't realize that, because I knew the cast announcement was happening, but I didn't watch it. I didn't see anything yet. And Luke, friend of the pod, messaged me, and that was like the first thing he said. He's like, it's amazing how, you know, two people and they on this season of All Stars, and they completely wiped away the mention of being on Canada versus the world. And I was like, okay, apparently Rue don't give a shit about that. So, oh well.
But on the other hand, I'm very happy to see Dawn back. I'm happy to see Crystal Method. I'm excited to see April Carry On. I'm happy for the first ever openly gay drag queen to be back on TV and Joey J.
This is true.
Is that a joke from his season?
In the original song they did, part of her lyrics was Joey J is so gay or something like that. And it was just joked about that Joey J is just very openly gay. And
okay. I couldn't tell if there was some other thing I was missing, but it's been so long since that season. I don't remember any of it.
Yeah. If you start typing in Joey J is into your Google search bar, the first result is, Joey J is the first gay contestant. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good times.
It's fun. Like, on one hand, it's just very fun to see Mystique Summers not Madison anymore, apparently. Mystique Summers is coming back. It's very heavy-handed to just go ahead and put her in the same group as Morgan McMichaels, because I feel like that beef that they had back in season two isn't around anymore. Or, like,
you mean 16 years later they don't have the same beef?
I mean, she is still from Chicago, but
I don't think she lives here anymore, but is from Chicago, so...
Oh, is that why she dropped Madison? She moved off Madison Avenue?
Maybe. I think she's in Atlanta now, but I'm not positive. Mystique Summers, nay Madison. It's like Mariah dropped Paris. It was just Mariah Balenciaga when she did UK versus the World. You know, it happens. Brian, who are you excited to see back on All Stars 11?
Dawn. I don't know.
Ornacia? Very good.
Oh,
very good.
Ornacia does look... That looks fun. She's always fun and crazy. I think Dawn. Dawn's always one I really liked and wanted to see go further. And I like their YouTube thing they do occasionally. Probably before they were called back to All Stars. I think Dawn. But I'm sure there's others I just can't remember. None of the Seattleites, that's fine. They've all gotten pretty recent attention. So, yeah, Dawn.
I was like, who else from Seattle? They've all been and done.
What's her name? Robbie Turner. That's who I want to see back.
She pulls up in an Uber.
That would You'd have to.
Her entire talent show number is about being a rideshare driver. People hate an undercover. We'll just leave it with that. So going from some Drag Race talk, and I'm sure BJ is falling asleep on us now. But I will. he nodded off, almost fell off his chair. But I will just do a quick little TV chat. I wanted to revisit a couple of things and give a couple of shout outs. I don't have a huge topic to chat about, so this little TV corner will be where I sit. But Scrubs, the reboot, season one is finished. It was fantastic. I'm sad that it was only 9 episodes for this first season. I believe season two is already greenlit and moving forward, and we'll have more Cox, possibly more Jordan as well. Because them only being back for the last episode or two of the season after Cox was in the first episode, will be very welcome. Krista Miller is just amazing, and I love seeing her on the show. Right amount of the nostalgia with the original core cast and building this new group of interns. And I think overall just extremely well done. If anybody else out there has watched Scrubs, the new season one, let me know. And let me know how you felt with kind of the sucker punches that they did in the final minutes of the second to last episode and then the last episode overall. The other thing that I wanted to bring up as a quick little thing, because some of y'all, all of you on the podcast should know about my love for this show. But those of you listening may or may not know, depending on how long you've been listening. But American Gladiators is back.
Uh-oh.
It is a Prime Video show. I think the UK revival of Gladiators is what helped push it over the edge to get greenlit for the US reboot. Now, mind you, this is coming after the okay reboot in 2008, got two seasons, and then this is coming from the 1989 to 95, 96 original run of American Gladiators. It is hosted by The Miz, and honestly didn't like Mike Mizanin when he was on. I never watched him on Real World. Did not love him on The Challenge, and was not watching wrestling when he first broke into the sport. He pops up a bit more now in some tangents, depending on what's going on. But he's fine. There's Rosi something or another is the co-host. They're okay. They do an adequate job. It's interesting, the mix for the Gladiators. There's a few different wrestlers, which, okay, cool. And then a former Big Brother contestant turned the Challenge contestant as one of the male Gladiators. And I don't understand it. I didn't care for him on The Challenge, and I don't really care for him on American Gladiators, but Fessel, formerly Fessy of Big Brother and The Challenge fame, is an American Gladiator now, and okay, good on him. But it was filmed in France, which is weird. First time that American Gladiators has been filmed outside of the U.S., and I find it a bit odd because there's only three events per episode where I feel like the original Gladiators was still an hour-long show, 40-some-odd minutes with commercials, and they did six events for each, for each episode, and then the Eliminator, so technically seven, and now we're down to four, where it's three events and then the Eliminator. The other thing that I find weird, and I don't remember if the 2008 version did this also, the contestants don't go up against the same gladiator in each event. There's a different gladiator each time the event runs. And I find that to be a weird disadvantage. Because maybe you're going up against a really good gladiator in the event and you get shut out. But then the second person goes and they have someone who's maybe not as adept. And they score all the points. Just feels a little odd. But it's there. New episodes on Fridays. And I think 6 out of the 12 episodes have aired as of this recording. I was trying to catch up on all of them. I may have fallen asleep during the last episode, so I'm not completely caught up. But, Eric, there was a contestant who, when I heard the name, I was like, wait a minute, that name sounds familiar. Sierra Dawn from Survivor was a contestant on American Gladiators this season. Sierra Dawn of One World fame, I believe, and then Game Changers, where she had the legacy advantage, and Sarah convinced her to bequeath it to her upon her elimination, and then Sarah turned around and got her eliminated.
That just isn't bringing any bells with me, but I'm horrible remembering names anyway, so it might be something I'd have to see a face to it, but...
Search Sierra Dawn Survivor. You'll see her and be like, oh, okay. That generic blonde woman. But she's like 6'4". I didn't realize she was that freaking tall. She was like a giant compared to most of these other people. And I didn't realize she married Joe from, I think, that season. Or at least Game Changers. So good on them. But yeah. The only other thing that I will say about American Gladiators is I did not think I would have daddy issues for the referee, but yeah, absolutely would in a heartbeat. And that's where I will end my conversation about American Gladiators. No one else has watched American Gladiators on Prime Video, right?
Negative.
That's what I figured, but still wanted to bring it up because I, as a child, went to an American Gladiators VIP dinner on their live tour by myself. And have photos to prove it, and I'm still alive. So, look at that. That's how we do. BJ, you've been quiet, you've been asleep. It's your turn. What you got for us?
In my hotel room, I have a, I've got my recliner. And I moved it up to the desk, so when I'm playing games and stuff on my computer, I'm in a recliner. So I was sitting here like I could fall asleep like this, and then I straight up fell asleep for like two minutes, and like panicking because I was like, did they say my name? And then it was like 10 minutes later, you were like, BJ's asleep. I'm like, oh.
So I was accurate, just at the wrong time.
Yep. Well, so what I got this month is it's been going through the news everywhere for like the past like 3 weeks. I just wanted to talk about the leak of Avatar Aang, the Last Airbender movie. It has been all over my For You pages on all my socials. Little clips have been popping up everywhere. My favorite are the thirst edits for Zuko and Sokka. But no, it's just it's been weird. It's Avatar has had as a franchise has had a super successful kind of run, but it has been fraught with all sorts of like issues ever since the end of the original Avatar The Last Airbender series, where like Legend of Korra was technically given one season and they didn't get renewed till well after the first season ended. And then the last season was completely released on Nickelodeon's website and not actually released, like aired. And then they kept changing like up. They kept giving it the Firefly treatment where they kept changing up how it was its release schedule and everything. And you had the movie that didn't do so hot and was supposed to be a trilogy, but it ended up only being one. You had the live action series that is pretty good, but the original creators, which were supposed to be executive producers, left. And now you have the first big project of Avatar Studios, which was a separate animation studio under Nickelodeon and Paramount, was supposed to release Avatar Aang, The Last Airbender movie in theaters this October, but then it was switched to be released primarily just on Paramount as a Paramount Plus exclusive in October. And then to add insult to injury, somebody managed to get a high-quality scan of the film and then release the whole thing online. So it's just been, it's a testament to how popular it is because it's still a fairly successful franchise, but Jesus Christ, like when you just kind of add everything up, it's hard to not view it as like somebody's kind of sabotaging it. Or maybe it's just like, you know, the room full of old white men who like hate anything that's not, you know, male centric being pissed off at it. So it's just been really weird. And I know they have a new show coming up, Avatar Seven Havens. That's supposed to drop 2027. So it's just been wild. Have you guys seen any of the clips of the movie that have just like run by your socials?
No, I've specifically tried to stay away from anything like that because I would rather wait for an official release before watching anything of it. It's just all I ever see on Twitter is just the arguments of who was the better bender? Was it Aang or was it Korra? You know, and just that age.
Oh, yeah. Fight. Yeah. How dare a woman, a complex woman, be a main character? Yeah. Then you have that on top of it. But I mean, I know Ahsoka gets that in Star Wars. So I'm like, I feel like at this point, if you have a main protagonist that, you know, is female and female presenting, they're going to get got either way. But have any of y'all watched the Avatar Last Airbender series?
Oh, yes. I love both of those series.
I will admit this is another area I'm not proud of because I do think I would enjoy it, but no.
That's why
no.
You haven't watched it. I'm not surprised with you, Pat. We have to get you to watch an animated series, it has to have a pink lion. Although Avatar is rife with very cute creatures, cute animals. Some that actually talk.
I was going to say, I watched K-pop Demon Hunters. I mean, I know it's not a series, but...
But it's got a cute animal, so it's got to have a cute, yes, derpy animal for you to for you to watch it. I remember we tried to get you to watch Steven Universe for years, and like you were like, oh, I'll get to it. And then the moment you found out there was a pink lion, you were like, I have to know everything about this series.
Well, no, I hated... I had a genuine... I'd seen bits and pieces of Steven Universe and did not want to watch it, and then eventually did, and then I fell in love with Lion, and you know, tell me Estelle's there, and I'm like, oh, okay, fine, I'll watch.
Are you going to watch Lars of the Stars?
I don't know what that is, and probably not.
It's a spinoff series that covers Lars and the Off-Colors going back into space. Rebecca Sugar is heading it. It's going to be on Amazon Prime.
Gotcha. I forgot about those characters. And that it's been a while.
I'll let you know if Lion shows up.
Oh, Lion.
But yeah. So like, yeah. For those of you listening, if y'all want to really support Avatar Studios, because this is actually their first big project under the moniker Avatar Studios, because the studio didn't get formally greenlit till after Legend of Korra. So this will be their first big project, although I know Paramount is currently owned by a massive conservative conglomerate. So I have mixed feelings about purchasing a Paramount subscription just for this movie, but I feel really bad for the animators and everybody, because working on this film, they were initially told it was going to be released in theaters. So I really think it should get the theater release treatment, because just from the clips I have seen, it looks fucking phenomenal. So if you are out there wanting to support them, I definitely will tell you guys to try and watch it when it comes out October 6th, I believe. Yeah, October 6th is the release date. So, and then Avatar Seven Havens looks really interesting. I'm interested to see what that's going to be like later on down the line. And then, yeah, so that's pretty much all I got for this month. I've been driving across the United States for the past like 3 weeks. So I actually will be headed home next Monday, but I've been in Arizona, Sierra Vista, Arizona for like the past 2 weeks. So there is not much here.
Oh no.
A lot of hills with eyes. So.
Well, there you go. So, friend of the pod, Joel, and sometimes guest host, was in Chicago last week. Two weekends ago. And got to actually meet him in person. So it was lovely getting to actually have a face-to-face conversation. We went out and had some drinks, and I got terribly upset at the stupid person. I was going to say a word that I don't know if people would get mad that I used, and normally I don't give a shit, but whatever. Because nobody was playing anything on the Touch Tunes, and then I put a song on, and then I put another song on after that had finished. And I was like, okay, let me put two more songs in the queue. And then somebody kept on jumping my fucking songs with nothing else in the queue but my two songs. And I was so annoyed. But aside from that, it was phenomenal getting to hang out with Joel in person. And if you get a chance to, I recommend hanging out with Joel. That's a recommendation for this episode, is if you are in his neck of the woods or he is in your area, hang out with him. But no, that's awesome. So the reason I brought that up, sorry, I completely lost my train of thought, as is usual for me. But he mentioned watching that movie, and I thought it was out already. So maybe one of those high quality leaks made its way into a circle that he was around. So interesting to hear about all of that, because I did not know anything about the leaks of the movie and all that. So thanks for bringing that to the forefront of attention, at least for me. All right, Brian, what have you got for us? Close us out with topics.
All right, I got two topics. One, I saw a movie I was very excited about called Dust Bunny. I think it's singular. From Brian Fuller of Hannibal and Pushing Daisies and other Wonderfalls and Dead Like Me and all those great things that we love. And I will say it's got Mads Mikkelsen, Sigourney Weaver, some young girl actress who's like kind of the star, and then some David Dasmashian, who else is some other actors that I recognize their faces, but those are the ones that I could actually name. Very Fuller-esque, very trippy, surreal, kind of like, you know, his other work. A little bit more like Hannibal in that it's sort of gritty-ish. But of course has Mads Mikkelsen, who's, you know, Hannibal. I don't know that I loved it. I will say that I think I was very excited for it, and maybe the expectations were a little high. It also seemed kind of I felt like if this had been a TV movie, not that they do those anymore, or direct to Netflix, maybe it would have made more sense. If I had seen this in the theater, I don't know what I would have thought, because it just felt kind of CG heavy or obviously filmed with green screens, and probably for an intentional effect that made it seem almost like a play, because there's definitely some imagery that it looked flat by design and sort of, but then there's some parts of the movie that were like absolutely like beautiful sets and really fun, inventive camera movements. And so like a mix of everything. And the story is like all over the place. It's like this fantasy world where this girl imagines she has a monster under her bed that's a dust bunny, and a monster eats her parents, and monster does all these other things. But then this contract killer played by Mads Mikkelsen gets involved, and it becomes kind of a lone wolf and cub esque, you know, protecting the girl from what he thinks is a real like danger that sort of, you know, inadvertently attached itself to her, but is actually after him. And then it kind of gets more surreal again, like in a kind of a fantasy thing. It's an odd movie. The dialogue, I think, is probably the weakest link. I think I really love Fuller's writing in Wonderfalls and Pushing Daisies and Hannibal too, but like, he had probably a bigger writer's room for that. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't want to give Dust Bunnies a bad review. So I would say if you're curious, you should see it. It's on HBO now, or HBO Max, whatever we're calling it. And it's, you know, worth watching, but I don't want you to go in thinking, oh my God, this is from the guy who did Hannibal. This is going to be so good. And it's his first movie. So, I mean, you know, from a first movie perspective, it's pretty good. But I don't know. I was really hoping it would be something else. I think like Amelie meets, what's a good contract killer movie? What's that? The Hitman, or what's the French one that's like the Hitman? I think it's the Hitman.
Leon the Professional? Is it?
Yeah, that yeah, yeah. Something like that. Think like that, but meets Amelie or City of the Lost Children, if that helps. So Dust Bunny is out on whatever. You can go watch it. I'm guessing no one's seen this. Okay, yeah.
No.
Just came out on HBO. But the other thing I want to talk about is FanFest for Final Fantasy 14, because Eric and I play that game, although really, Eric, probably you play that more than I do these days. Or I definitely am the more behind my my hours as I, you know, whatever, as I could have been. So FanFest is a celebration of the game that happens across the country, or across the world, sorry. It's like every couple of years, they go to three cities. They try to cover like North America and Europe and Japan. And it's quite a cultural phenomenon if you are a fan of 14, because you get to go, you get to see the creators of the game. You get to hear keynotes and concerts of the music, which is one of my favorite parts of the game. You get to immerse yourself in like real like exhibits that they build. You get to see the costumes of the cosplayers, which is always phenomenal and amazing. You get fan merch, and you get all this cool stuff that, you know, if you go, I got to go like, gosh, 2019 when it was in Vegas with our mutual friend, Jacob, friend of the show, formerly Straight Boy on the Floor. I think. Is he one of those? He had, yep. He's the one who got me into the game. Of course, then Eric also, I think you were also playing at the time and had mentioned it. And I was like, maybe. But it's a great game. Love it. But this is the first time we've seen a few things, but one of which is the new expansion. And, of course, like in any, like this is an MMO. Any MMOs, they have the expansions that sort of build the world, give new quests and new characters and new levels and new jobs, and in Final Fantasy's case, or classes and other games. This is, we learned, was called Evercold, which is kind of like a weird band from the 2000s. It almost sounds like to me. It's giving Everclear. What's the other band I'm thinking of? What's the goth band? Isn't there a goth band that starts with Ever or something?
I don't think so.
I don't know. My brain does weird things. Everlast. I don't know. Anyway, Everclear. I was going to call it Everclear. Evercold is the new expansion, and it is set in like this very, there's like this idea of parallel worlds, blah, 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 whatever. So zones aren't always in the actual world you're in, but they're like parallel worlds that you go to. And this is one of those. It's called a shard, and it's like all frozen, and there's like Norse mythology influences, because every game, like, they kind of pick an area of the world or of our world or culture, and they kind of mine the goodies from that and use that as inspiration. So I don't know, I really am excited. Obviously love this game. I need to catch up. I have 7 or 8 months 9 months, what did I decide?
It's January out? Is when the new one comes out.
So yeah, 7 months, 7 or 8 months. Yeah. That's, I think if I got my nose to it, I think I could do it. Given my life these days, I don't think it will happen, but that's okay too. I don't always, you know, play when it comes out, but yeah, Eric, what did you think of this new Evercold expansion trailer?
I think it looks great. I loved the art style that they used, in that it was all, a majority of it was told via, it looked like tapestry was weaving itself as it was, a story was told via voiceover, and it was just beautiful like that. It's kind of difficult to give my full impression of it now until the January FanFest happens, because FanFest is always done over, like you said, three cities, and they have to give more information at each subsequent FanFest. So the full trailer won't be released until the Japan FanFest in November. So this was just a third of the final trailer that was released. But it looks good so far.
I think it's, what do they call it? The Godless Realms trilogy now. So I don't know if they're counting Dawnbreak or not in that trilogy. I think.
It's not necessarily a trilogy. They just call it the next saga.
Oh, the next saga.
So I would think Dawn Trail is included in it.
Okay. Well, I mean, so it's an interesting progression because, and this is something with Final Fantasy 14 that a lot of people were kind of surprised by. The first, part of the overall story was pretty definitively resolved in the last expansion, but the one before. And this was quite an epic story that really drove a lot of the content. And then they kind of wrapped it up and went, okay, well, now we're going to do this other thing. And I think that was Dawn Trail, which was the last expansion, or the current expansion, if you will. And I think a lot of people are kind of like underwhelmed by Dawn Trail because it just didn't feel like you were on this epic journey anymore. You beat the big bad and now you're just kind of dicking around in South America equivalent, eating tacos and petting llamas. I'm not, those are all real things you do in the game, which is
great. Alpacas.
Sorry, alpaca, not llamas. Yes. or whatever Final Fantasy calls them, right? Although I think actually, didn't they just call them alpaca? Like, sometimes they don't even alpacas. Bother. The regionalizations don't even change. Because in Japan, the alpaca, it sounds weird enough for them as a borrowed word. So like, you know what? That's fine. I don't know. Like I am only half with you, Dawn Trail. I think it's interesting. I don't hate it. I really love that one of the main characters that you don't play, but you meet is a trans voiceover actress. I don't think the character has been identified as trans. I think they're coded fairly feminine, but given a little bit of a NB kind of vibe, if you will. But no, I don't know. I'm not underwhelmed, but I understand the criticism that people are like, well, okay, now what? You know? Because a lot of the people just got so invested in the story in the first three expansions since they relaunched the game that, yeah, they're all like, well, now what? So I think this is answering the, well, now what? So I don't know. It's got some good teasers. The music sounds great, although very reminiscent of some of the other expansions with that guitar riff that they like. That's how nerdy I get. I watched a musical deep dive on the music of the trailer, which is just, like I said, a limited amount of the full song. You can barely hear the lyrics. And, I was like, oh my God, that's a reference to this. Oh, and then this YouTube nerd got into it and like explained all the references. I was like, oh yeah, this is cool. So I'm into it. I'm going to, do it, whatever. But, if you're a Final Fantasy 14 fan, as we have oft talked about, let us know. And, Eric and I might be on your server. Who knows? Or you can visit one of our servers. I think that still works.
The often memed about free trial for Final Fantasy 14 has gotten even better and even more meme worthy as they've added the fourth expansion, Shadowbringers, to the free trial.
Actually, that is pretty big because Shadowbringers is
the best expansion story. Just told by itself.
I'm going to hold up.
Expansion standalone story is the best story in Final Fantasy 14.
So when I was in Japan recently, I went to.
You don't have to pay any money, and you get to play up to level 80, unlimited hours of playtime, and experience some great story. And all the races are unlocked now.
Race,
yes,
unlocked people, locked races. Cat boy.
Oh God! This segment brought to you by Square Enix. We are a proud sponsor. No, we're not. When I went to Japan,
although if they would like to invite us to the next fan fest to be in the media pit, I would be more than happy to attend.
If they have a trailer for Kingdom Hearts 4.
Oh, geez. That might be a bit. So I was in Japan.
Oh, new Alliance Raid series is going to be a crossover event with Evangelion.
That is pretty big news. I don't know anymore.
That was very shocking.
We know nothing more than that because the trailer was literally just the Unit 01 visage, yeah, you know, monster, whatever.
Like, I saw that and I was very excited, but that does make sense because they are dropping a new Evangelion series. There's a new one being created.
Yeah, it's the 30th anniversary. And
funny enough, the creator, not Hideki Anno, but the guy doing the new series is, what's his name? Something Taro. The one that always shows up is like with this white circle helmet thing, face, whatever. He did the Nier Automata series. So the video game series guy, Taro something, is doing the new Ava series. So that is kind of an odd, interesting tie in there. But all right, ooh. I'm showing this on camera. No one can see it. But my very favorite character, Mr. Emmett Selch, right here on my little standee that I got from the Eorzea pop-up shop in Akihabara, is the main character, I think, of this whole series. Let's just be honest. The whole series, Emmett Selch. No, I know. I'm just kidding. He should be. I really, anytime that like you get to interact with him is just such a joy. And I'm such a fanboy. Anyway, point is, he is the main character of Shadowbringers. So, you know, if you do want to play for free, I think you're going to get, I mean, you got to go a pretty far way before you really get to meet him. But like when you do, changes everything.
So I just have to ask, because it's been 74 years since y'all started playing Final Fantasy 14. What is the mainline actually at? Did they do a 16? I know 15 came out.
Wait, was it? Yes.
Yeah, they did a 16.
Yes.
Yeah, that's
is the there last a 17? Do we not stop yet at 16?
No, they have not done. I haven't heard any announcements about a 17. I think there was something they were pitching and it didn't go forward. So, yeah.
It's just amazing. Like, I mean, I'll say this. It's phenomenal that a game can be, how old is this game now? Like at least 10 years.
Oh, more than that. Let's see.
Yeah.
Eric, you know this?
Oh, yeah. No.
80. Are you talking about Final Fantasy or 14?
14. No, I know Final Fantasy has been around forever. Girl, I'm not that dense.
No, but 14. No. Like, I think you're dense. 2010.
Okay, so 16 years. I was, okay, 16 years. I was going to say, I've been away, or I moved 6 years ago, and you were playing 14 years before that. So like, mm-hmm, I knew that there was a good amount of time. But it's crazy how 16 years later, still continuing on with this game. I mean, I still watch YouTubers playing Mario Odyssey, and that's, you know, what, 8-9 years at this point. But they're finding mods and ways to be able to do things with the game that aren't necessarily supported by Nintendo. But it's just crazy that, you know, you can have other iterations come out and really not have the same longevity. Because 15 did not seem to have that same, doesn't have that same staying power, it feels like.
Obviously, I mean, it helps that it's 7. It helps that it's, sure, it helps that it's an MMO, right? I mean, that's what makes it so long lasting, right? But yeah, no, it's impressive. It's definitely come down from its peak. Like, I think they're saying numbers wise, it's been down a lot since Dawnbreak, whatever came out. But it's yeah, still going strong. So is World of Warcraft. They're no longer
breaking the motherfucking dawn.
Oh, yeah, no, I mean, other MMOs like World of Warcraft, Star Trek, Star Wars, Old Republic. There's a bunch that are still going, but it's yeah.
And then, yeah, I don't know. I feel like it's like those are like, there's not, I don't know, Final Fantasy, because there are continual like entries in the game series or the sequence. It feels weird that like a specific number has 16 mm-hmm years of longevity versus, you know, the Sadra boys of Final Fantasy 15 singing about wanting to ride a chocobo. doesn't seem to have that same lasting power as 14 does. But
14 is like the metaverse version. I think that's the thing. And they ought to, in some ways, it's like they won't change the name now, but like that should have always been the thing, because it's really the metaverse of all of the other Final Fantasies. In a way, like they bring in all of the other different, like this, what was the last raid they did? Was that, or they did like a Final Fantasy VI thing in the Dawnbreaker stuff? Like they just keep like mining their own material, but then they make new stuff too. And then they bring in like Evangelion and Nier and all this shit. So it really is kind of the proto Fortnite in some ways of what they're trying to do, but not like to the level of Fortnite, which I was going to talk about, but I won't because it's Fortnite and we don't need to talk about it.
Gotcha. Well, glad that you were able to chit chat a little bit about Final Fantasy 14 and what was the movie?
Dawn Bunny. No, Dawn Bunny.
Dust Bunny.
Bunny.
Got it. That's
Dawn Bunny.
Anywho. And just because I realized that I didn't say this when I was talking about it last time, Hillary Duff's album still has a chokehold on me, and it's called Luck or something. I realized after we stopped recording that I was just so enthralled by it and the conversation and extolling the virtues of it that I don't think I actually ever said the name of it. But still on repeat in my household. So even if she's not topping the charts, she's going triple platinum in my YouTube music recap for 2026. But anywho, it has been a fun chit chat with you all. If you out there listening have partaken in any of the topics that we've talked about and you want to chat with us about it, please let us know. We love to hear from you. We love getting that feedback. We love just being able to talk about these things with you all afterwards. If you want to live message me while you're watching like Luke does, please feel free. It's always funny when people start listening to the episodes and you can tell where they're at, or they'll say something and then we actually address the what I get messaged about. I'm like, why did you say this? And it's like, oh, there it is. So always fun for that. And Luke, we need to talk General Hospital at some point because I haven't had anybody to chat with about that. And the boys here are like, please don't talk about your stories on the podcast anymore. So need to chit chat there. But we'll be back in another month. I guess technically it'll be two episodes in the month of May for our roundup. But as I mentioned before, we'll also be doing a separate Daredevil episode. So stay tuned for that. But until next time, flame off.
Bye.